Good evening. I know you guys root for hockey, so let's try that again. Good evening.
Good evening.
That's better. I'm sorry if you're a Montreal fan and they lost the other night, but my team, the Senators, won, so that was a good part. It's good to be back with you again, and tonight we're going to look a little bit about what God has been doing. I threw some pictures together quickly, and I'd like to share a little bit about what God has been doing there in Papua New Guinea. But before we do, we'll bow in a word of prayer and then look at Romans chapter 10. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cost that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come and take our place, bear our sin upon himself. And Father, that he would be raised again victoriously over sin and the grave. And again, Father, we pray tonight that if there's some here tonight that have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their own personal salvation, I pray that it would be tonight that they would realize that they're lost. And Father, Satan would love to deceive as many as he can and take them to a lost eternity in hell. But Father, it's our prayer that you would work in hearts tonight that have come and that your word would speak. And we thank you so much tonight for the word of God that we have in our own language. And we pray for those missionaries tonight that are in other parts of the world translating the word of God into some language where they do not have the word. We thank you, Father. We're so blessed, and we love you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'd like you to turn just for a moment, familiar passage in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to back up a little bit. We have some of the brethren there in Papua New Guinea read a couple of verses that I would say belong to the Romans Road. I don't know if you've memorized the Romans Road. If you haven't, it's a good idea. If you don't know what that is, I can let you know, or it's even on the internet. And just some simple verses to be able to share the gospel with people you come in contact with. And two of the verses that the brethren love to share over there is Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then skipping down to verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I was impressed. I'm not going to get into it. It'll be another message, but a testimony that I'd love to share with you sometime. As I was leaving last time to go back to Papua New Guinea, I had to make some stops on the way. I had to speak in Toronto and then visit my brother out west, and then finally I got out to Vancouver, had to wait 15 hours for the plane there, and then jump on the plane to fly down to Sydney. That was another 15 hours. You just got 30 hours there, and that's only a small part of your flight. But anyway, the Lord gave opportunity. But what I was impressed was with two things. As I was leaving our assembly, we have a brother there that's older than me, and he said, pray for our brother Luke, that as he goes forth to Papua New Guinea, he'll be witnessing to those on the airplane. And a lot of times when I'm on the airplane, I'm thinking, well, I've got a lot of work to do. You know, there's things that the people over there need, and I'm basically into my little world of fixing something or reading something or trying to understand something, words, and making sure the people are clear about them. The needs over in Papua New Guinea are huge. But as I got on the plane, the Lord quickly let me know that I needed to be aware of who was sitting beside me. And I was really amazed. I've just a number of stories. And but the need and the interest of people who actually don't know what this story is all about. They don't understand salvation. They've seen, I'll just tell you quickly, the first lady I sat beside, she told me after we got talking for a little while, got chit-chatting, but she told me that I asked her what she thought about God. She says, I don't know what to tell you. She says, my dad was a Ukrainian and my mom was a Jew. And she says, when it came to Christmas, we'd set up the Christmas tree, and as a kid, I was all excited with the Christmas tree, and then Grandma was coming over, Orthodox Jew Grandma. She was on her way over, and Dad said, grab the tree and stick it in my office and sweep out the floor and don't let her see it. So we'd be stuffing this Christmas tree into his office, and right out there it was cleaned up, and Grandma would just get through the door, and she'd be looking around, making sure there was no Christmas tree. Whew, got that out of the way in time. And she says, I don't know what Christmas trees and God, and she said, it was just all confusion to me growing up. And she says, I don't understand any of it. Well, would you like to hear some? You know, most of you here tonight would have no problem sharing. I met another lady further on the road. She was from Colombia. Well, we hit it right off because we have missionaries in Colombia. I know people from Colombia. And she had to move to Canada because of a group called the FARC. Well, I know all about the FARC. They've killed our missionaries. So we got chatting back and forth, and I just asked her quickly. I said, do you go to church? She said, yes, I go to this and this church. And I said, well, you know, if somebody asked you, like, I'm a missionary in Papua New Guinea, I said, if a tribal person asked you, what do they do to get to heaven, what would you say? And she says, well, I would tell them that they should go to church and they should be good to people and they should and they should and they should. And she listed all the things. She said, isn't that what all of Christianity teaches? And, well, I began to think of what her version of Christianity was. There's a lot of churches that would teach that. And I said to her, I said, as a matter of fact, that's not what I believe. And she kind of looked at me shocked, and I said to her, I said, I believe it's having a relationship with a person. I said, I believe it's putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and that his blood is a payment for sin. And I said, my good works don't count. She said, you know what? I agree with you. You know what? Just talking to her a few minutes, she began to realize that she didn't understand this salvation message. In a few minutes, a person can take that woman, not just stop. Sometimes I'm caught with telling them the gospel message, and I leave it there. But you know, there are people out there who actually want to be taken all the way to Christ. Take them all the way. Take them by the hand and lead them by the hand and take them to Christ. And the Lord just began to speak to me and say, you know, don't be afraid to take them all the way. Sometimes we're just happy to tell them the gospel message, which we should be doing all the time. But we can take them by the hand, and I've been telling our tribal guys, take them by the hand. I said, take them all the way. I tell Fiam, I said, listen, go see this lady. She needs to hear. She doesn't understand the message. Yeah, I know, I know. I said, well, have you visited her and talked to her about it? And I mean, he's much better in the tribal language than I am. And I said, why don't you go down and go see her this week? Okay, okay, okay. So he comes up the next day. Did you go see her? No, she wasn't around. I said, she's an old lady. I said, she doesn't go to the garden. She's got to be around somewhere. I said, do you even look around? No, not too much. I said, her soul's important, right? Yeah. Okay, why don't you check tomorrow and take a little better look around, find her. Okay, so he goes down the next day, comes back. I said, you see her? Yeah, I got a chance to talk to her. I said, so how'd it go? He says, she's thick. She doesn't get it. I said, well, what did you tell her? I said, it's a simple message. And so he says, well, I told her, walked through her. He says, but she kept leaning on her old church and she wants to go that way. Well, I said, take her by the hand. I said, walk her through the scriptures. I said, don't talk about church. Don't worry about if she says she's holding on to her old church. I said, just take her through the salvation message. Jesus Christ died for her sins and he loves her and he wants to be hers. And she just has to realize, admit that she's lost and that she needs this salvation message, which he knows well enough and he preaches it all the time. Go back and talk her through that. So I encourage you to do the same. Beautiful are the feet of those people who preach the gospel. That's your feet. It's not just going way across the ocean. It's wherever we go. It's that person sitting beside us in the plane. And you're thinking, I'm too busy. Or she's probably not interested anyway, you know. I can still see the lady, the stewardess walking down. The Lord speaking to my heart. Okay, why don't you talk to her? And all of a sudden she starts to punch at movies and stuff like that. And then I see the stewardess coming down. She's selling the headsets. And then she buys a headset, and I haven't said anything yet. And this is the phrase that I started to say to all the way across to Papua New Guinea. I thought, Lord, you have to give me something to start off with here. And so the Lord gave me a phrase. He said, this was the phrase that I asked everybody, are you going away from home or to home? And everybody said, oh, that's a good question. I didn't think of it, but anyway. I asked the people that, and it was interesting, the responses, just all the way back to Papua New Guinea. And I got onto the last flight up to Papua New Guinea, and a lady sat beside me. And so I said, where are you going? Are you headed away from home or to home? And she says, oh, I'm headed back home, she said in the trade language to me. I said, oh, I said, you live in the mountains? Yes. I said, well, that's where I'm headed. Oh, she says, are you a missionary? Yes, I'm a missionary. Oh, she said, bless you. She said, we need more missionaries to come. And right away, I picked up that she loved the Lord Jesus. And I said, would you mind me asking what language you're from? She says, I'm from a group in the Eastern Highlands province. I said, okay, but I said, what's the name of it? Well, do you know languages up there? Well, I said, I only know one. She says, I'm from the Cafe tribe. Guess what? We had a great time chatting all the way back up to the mountains together. But the Lord bless us, and it's just exciting. I wish I had thousands of stories I could tell you, but I don't, because sometimes I don't do enough of it myself. I'm caught up with other things and not listening to the Lord sometimes when somebody's passing me by on the street or wherever it is. And I thank the Lord for our brethren who are quickly willing to share the Word of God. I want you to think, as we look through some slides here, think about when you got saved. The people who sat in darkness saw a great light, and it's just wonderful to see people in Papua New Guinea having seen light. So who remembers from this morning? What's the village where we want to teach, where this one village we got an opportunity? What is it? Oza, yes, OZA. Very good. Some of you remember. I'm impressed. Very good. Yes, we want to keep praying for them, that God opens doors there, and that these people will be, their hearts will be ready for the gospel. When we returned last time, it was raining cats and dogs for 9 months, and this is what our roads, this is our main highway artery running through Papua New Guinea, only paved road, and tractor trailers and everything coming and going, and so it was quite a mess there. That's the time when the rains are going that you see the food is really great, and we have 16 types of sweet potato in our area, so people enjoy good food. This is what we call a luau, or we call it a mumu, but in Hawaii you call it a luau, where a meal is cooked in the ground, and it's really, really yummy. If you ever go over, you'll get a chance to take a bite of this sort of thing. Our mandarin tree was producing great, but right after 9 months of rain, we had a drought. And we just are really thankful for your prayers, because though you'll see my prayer letter that's going out this week that it's damaged some roads, the people are very thankful for the rain having finally come and their gardens starting to produce again. The government had to get involved and send bags of rice out to a number of the mountain provinces, and ours was one of them. So you can see these little red marks here. Some areas had drought, some had frost and reduced rainfall and whatnot, so it was pretty severe, and we're just thankful to the Lord that the rains have come again. We had our first conference when we were back last time, and this was the first lady that got saved from the conference, and her name's Janet, and you can just pray that Janet will continue to grow in the Lord. She's just really, really keen, and you know, sometimes I look in the audience, I'm looking at some of you, and you'll be looking maybe at the picture, or you'll be looking down at your Bible, or you'll be looking somewhere. But you know, somebody who's gone from us today never lost contact with me very often, and that's Gene Phillips. When you look down at Gene, I don't know if the rest of you guys, when you're preaching, if you notice that or not, but when I'm preaching here, one person I remember, when I always look down, and she reminds me of somebody who's just faithfully listening, and maybe even thinking, are you making sure you're preaching the right thing? Anyway, bless her heart, she was just a real, and this is our little Jean Phillips, you might say, in our, she just really listens, and she's really gobbling it up. This is her husband. Her husband is not with us. He's still coming out of a cultish sort of church, we might say, and anyway, we were, some people had asked to be baptized, and so she was wanting to know about baptism. And he quickly came and he said, no. He says, she needs to be in your church for a few years and then you baptize her. I said, oh, can you show me where that is in the Bible? No. And so I said, well, I began to explain a little bit about salvation. And then he came back the next day and he said, you know, there's been many things that have been bothering my thoughts that what I believe in is not really the truth. And so we began to share. He never got saved. But we're just continue to pray for him that the brothers there would see this man come to know the Lord. His name's Terrence. We kept going with the youth. We kind of switched things up. Before, we had quite a few youth at the school, and this is now in our property where we meet. Our chapel's just behind this. I'll show you that. That's part of our little building there. And but it's been neat to see the youth come out and to see some of them even come to know the Lord, a few of them. They all go to, their parents go to different churches and that do not preach the gospel, but they love coming and they love to be involved and love hearing the word. And so we play for a while, I teach for a bit, and then they play games again. And this is the Awana program that we have there. And we have sometimes we have Awana people that travel the world. They'll come over to see what we're doing there. And they're excited to see these kids learning scripture. And it's especially wonderful to see the moms and dads, whatnot, teaching their own children to memorize scripture and to put that away in their heart. And they're like sponges. They just really are quick to learn the verses. And that's my girlfriend. She's helping out here too. And this is Tracy. Tracy is, some you know, Northland Bible Chapel in near Sault Ste. Marie, Gouley River, that area. She's grew up there, and so she's our co-worker and been working there for many years. And she went through training with us, and so we've been together for, I don't know, I guess, Lois, 20 years at least. I don't know if you remember, but years ago I shared a little story with you about a guy who came to me and asked me what I should call his son. And what he should call his son, and to give him some Canadian name or something. I said, I don't know. I said, I don't have anything to... He said, well, if you think of something, just let me know. So I said, okay. So he went home, and he listened to the radio, and do you remember that? And he called his son Elvis Presley. Anyway, so this is Elvis now growing up. Elvis comes to our meeting. Elvis is in the house. When he's in the house, he's really there. And... Elvis loves the Lord. I don't know yet if he's saved. I think he actually is, but he couldn't express it as well. But certainly can answer all the questions. And he won a Bible, and it's just really neat to see him come out to the meetings. MSC, Missionary Service Committee, sent some money along to us too for Bibles. And so these are trade language Bibles. So we're at a... Things are at a change in our world where we have people out in the bush and the people near the roads, and the people who are educated, those who aren't. So the people who are more educated near the roads, they are able to read the trade language Bible. So we bought some of them. And there was a nearby camp by another church put on, and we sell the Bibles basically for 75% off to give them a little bit of a charge. So it means something to them, and then use the money again to buy more Bibles. One lady came up to me, she had sewn this string bag, and she says, I don't have any money, could I trade a string bag for a Bible? And I said, sure, so that's what's around my neck there. And bless her heart, she really wanted to read the Word of God. It was time for us to do a little bit more surveying, see what the interest was, trying to wiggle between some of the areas where fighting and whatnot was going on. It's just been really, really bad. Two sisters, they're young, they're around my son's age. One was pregnant, and another young lady that lives right beside where we live, Seth basically grew up with her, and she's come to know the Lord. She called me up one day and said, Luke, can you take us to the local clinic, which is about 7 kilometers down the road? This lady's going to have a baby. And I said, sure. So one's name is Jetron, we call her T, and then Lucy. So Lucy was pregnant, so... Anyway, they got down there, and I dropped them off, and I said, you're all set, you got everything? Yeah, we're all set, you can go back. So I went back, and a few minutes later, I got a call on the phone. They said, come back, please come back. And I said, what? They said, there's two groups in that area that both have guns, and they were fighting, and there were, like, bullets flying everywhere around the hospital, and it's just a small hospital. And anyway, Lucy had got up onto the table to prepare herself to have a baby, and when Jethro said, Cario's here. She says, I totally forgot I had to have a baby. She says, I jumped off and we hit crouched behind the window, hoping that Cario would run away. But they're just everywhere. Cario is just a village that's broken up, split in the middle. And but fighting, you can see fighting on the next mountain, bullets flying all day long. And it's just been really sad to see a number of people killed. But slowly this has been, with the government's help, it's been slowing down. So we've had the opportunity to visit some areas, and so we were going to go behind the mountain where I hadn't gone. We've gone in different directions on back roads, but I hadn't gone here, and Tracy was with us too this time, and she said the roads that we got to turn around. I said, oh no, I said, the tribal people always keep going. And she says, well, I'm out of the car. So she went across the footbridge, and I found this grill or whatever that was down to the water, and we went down into the water and then back up the other side and kept going and met with people along the way. These are some of the little bridges that we cross. Some of the roads all down below in the valleys are most of the people in places like this. It would be a typical village. And we had opportunity to meet with some of these men and share a little bit about what we do and in teaching the word chronologically, and then allowing them the opportunity to hear that, and then hopefully we can establish a local assembly somewhere in these areas. So in a lot of these areas, there's been a significant amount of fighting, and we've just been praying that that would slow down. This is a village. I gotta say this to Gloria. Gloria, just to the left of the house, if you see the little houses up top there, that's where you were standing. That's on that far-off village where we were. We're going to look at some other pictures here in a minute. So this is next to that village, and if I turned around, none of you know this, but this is just a shot here, you'll see my house. We're up across the village where Gloria was, actually, and you can see my house with a copper or tin roof and the highway down below. So that's where we live, and that's what it looks like. This is F.A. He's one of our guys who teaches. He teaches mostly on Wednesday nights. They divide it up. One guy's doing most of the teaching on Sunday and one on Wednesday. And so F.A.'s going through the book of Romans. And sometimes Marilyn, his daughter, will come join him up front. Here he's teaching. As you can probably tell, he's written kind of the trade language, which is closer to English, but Adam and Christ. And then the rest is Cafe, which you wouldn't be able to see, but it's just been neat to see the people grow and realize who they are in Christ, especially the newer believers. We've gone through Romans before, but we're going back through it again. And then during the week, Fimo's been going through, I think he's in the book, just finished the book of Titus. And so that's just been a really, really neat to see these two guys. I actually have spent more time with a senior youth class teaching them, and they've taken more of the preaching on. So this is Fimo. He's been a dear brother and a great help to us, translating Bible lessons, chronological lessons that go all the way through Scripture. He just finished up doing Revelation. And once he does a lesson or finishes a book of lessons, then Effie and I actually take them. We go back through them and make sure that he understands it. I read it to Effie and see what he says back to me, making sure that everything's clear. And then we carry on. So he's been really motoring along, and basically we compare it to, he says, I'm all the way down in South Australia, and he said, you and Effie haven't even crossed the water to come down to Australia yet, so, which is basically true. So these are some of the books we did, finished up this time. We printed 1 Timothy, Titus, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation. So we're looking, I know that they're looking forward to getting into Thessalonians and then Revelation too. Baptism, not too long before we left. This is Fimo's wife, who came from a church where she was tabooed from being baptized again. And so she realized that that was wrong teaching, and so she got baptized. This is Lucy, the one I was just talking about that was pregnant. Again, there was an older woman in the village that said, you were baptized when you were a baby, and you should not get baptized again. And then they go, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and try to teach that to them, that they're doing the wrong thing. And so she asked the older lady, she says, when you get baptized, is it because of what your church teaches you what baptism is? And the lady said, well, yes. And she says, well, I believe what the Word of God says, not what a church says. And she says, the Word of God is telling me that once I put my faith and trust in Christ, that I need to be baptized. So it was really neat to see the testimony some of these young ladies had, and some of the young men too. This guy, you can't see him, I don't know if we have more pictures, but the guy on the left there actually was a guy who was in a lot of trouble and whatnot, and everybody was in tears just to see him saved and then get baptized too. Fimo on the right here with Lucy. Lucy is part of his clan, so he's pretty excited because he would actually receive a bride price when she would get married, and so he's just really happy that another clan member has come to know the Lord and be baptized. These two young ladies, they are saved and they want to get baptized. And so we're just I'm amazed. Tracy takes a lot of time teaching the kids, and then she's taught other ladies to be Sunday school teachers, and it's just, they, some of the adults have a hard time beating. If we have a little question time or whatever, these kids can really, they're really accurate when it comes to answering the questions, and I'm pretty impressed with their answers. This guy's Moy, little Moy. I don't know if I shared this before with you, but it was just years ago, little Moy was with me, and we were playing that tune. I probably shared this with you before, but it goes like this. Like him God long bell below you, you know, can think ting long save blue you. And so I'm playing along, and he says, yeah, I can play too. But then I think he just didn't join in with the chords I was playing with. But while I was doing that, he was taking the bass notes, or the bass strings of the guitar, and going boom, 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 boom. And so it was kind of cool. The two of us got up together and played these songs together, and it was an exciting time to see him fit in there. So he's been taking over a lot of the singing. I try to work on him. I say, not all the songs are just in G. Try start some in C. And I've written them up for him. He doesn't read too well. He can read a little bit. And here's the lady that I was telling you about, Fimo to visit, is on your left there. And you can just pray for Ita. I don't think she's saved yet. And on the right side is just the opposite. The Atopa is on the right side, and she loves the Lord, and she's just one of those lovely people who walks into the meeting, and she's just alive when she comes in. And we had a funeral not long ago of a young man who'd gotten saved and got sick, and then he died. And some of the believers were crying too, but mostly people who are unsaved were wailing uncontrollably. But she walked over to the believers, and she said, he's not here, he's not here, he's up there. You don't need to cry. It's just neat to see her. She's got a real testimony. Namesake's a big thing. So Tracy is holding Tracy, and Lois is holding Luke. And beside Luke is Audrey, which is my sister. And here Lois is with Lois, so that means usually you have some demands placed on you that you have to bring little treats and stuff like that once you have a namesake, and your namesake will get after you, say, I haven't seen you for a while, meaning you need to maybe give them, we have Maggie noodles over there, these little bags of noodles that they love to eat. This is Alphonse. Different men come visit me. I have a little hut, open-sided hut pavilion, and we meet there with different men. And it's good opportunities to talk to men about the Word and seeing different men come to know and women come to know the Lord in this little open hut. And we just thank the Lord for this little place where we can spend time with different people and share the Word of God with them. Here we're having a little opportunity. Got a chainsaw from a missionary board that and taught Fimo here how to use it. And again, little opportunities like this we take to disciple them and teach them how to look after chainsaws and things like that, and when you loan something, borrow something from somebody, to return it again in good order. Lois here is teaching a young lady to use the computer, and she's getting to grade 12. She's been our meeting for quite a few years and been saved, and it's Fimo's oldest daughter, and we just thank the Lord for her testimony too. This is Elvis and I jamming together. Can you believe it? Actually, he doesn't know how to play, but he's learning how to play, and his dad has got natural ability, and I think Elvis does too. There was probably about 20 people that wanted to either learn electric piano or the guitar, so Tracy taught some guitar and piano, and I taught a few guitar as well. And then my wife ran away on me. She decided it was time to go visit her daughter, and Zara had a second daughter. First one's Trinity, and this is Alexa. And I hope, Lord willing, to see Alexa in the middle of next month, if the Lord wills. Lois has opportunities when she can to go out and visit the ladies in the village and encourage them in the things of the Lord and to how to be good mothers. And so here she is visiting one lady who's just come to know the Lord. And we're just thankful that this lady, her name's Toy, she is just saved and I'm wanting to be baptized. Not sure if the guys will baptize her before I get there back again or not. This is one of her sons, loves to come out to the meeting too, come to the Awana groups or to the kids' Sunday school class. I was looking at this group of kids the other day and I realized that Elvis is standing in the background and his dad's not around. He works in a town about 3 hours away and never sees him. And his mom ran away long ago. And the boy on the left, his mom died of AIDS, or dad died of AIDS. And the boy in the front, his dad divorced his mom. And the girl on the right, his her dad is also working in a town and never comes home. Every Sunday morning we get together and get the kids together, and we always do at least a couple songs for the older people or whoever's there that are not that young. And so usually everybody appreciates seeing the kids doing some action songs. One of the things that the Lord has blessed the people with there is these MP3 players, which have the Word of God in the tribal language and many songs. And so it's been a real blessing for the older people who will never read, or looks like they'll never read anyway. And we've spent time, some of the ladies, they take more time to do a literacy program. And so you've got a little card that says ah, letter A, and you tell them this is ah, say ah, and they go ah. And then you put an N in front of it, and you go, okay, this is now na, na. And after you've taught them that for 3 days, and there's a weekend, you come back, and Monday rolls around, and they say anything but accept what it really represents. It's just, they're not in the ballpark. And so it's been neat to see them grab these. They're made in Israel, and they have solar panel one side, and they can jump steps in chapters, and people just love putting them in the middle of their homes, their huts, and they got a strong speaker where the whole family can hear it, and it's just been really neat. Their kids, especially when it comes to the story of Joseph and things like that, they know every little fact that has to go with that story because they, Dad, play that one more time. And our neighbor sometimes, he says, no, we're going to play the first four chapters of Genesis, and then we're going to stop, see what you guys remember. If you don't remember enough, we're playing it again. And so it's really neat to see them learning the Word of God this way. We cut some, had a guy that helped us with using a chainsaw, slab some boards. We were building, getting ready to build a Sunday school house. And these boards are an inch thick, and they're about 8 inches wide, 10 feet long, 10.5 feet long. And I had this app on a little cheap phone over there, but the app was good enough to check how high the mountain was, and I recognized that we had actually climbed 1,000 feet in about 45 minutes, and which isn't that big of a climb. But when you carry a board like that, it's loaded with water, waterlogged, it was amazing how wobbly my knees were and everything by the time I carried just one down. And some of these ladies who are going down, of course, they'd smile because they know I do a lot of sitting in the office. Anyway, this is them going down the mountain. You can see a little spot there by a tree down below. They've got to go further to the left to get down to our property and then further down to where our chapel is. This is my wonderful wife at New Year's. I just threw this picture in there, but where's Hank Bond? Hank, what is that? Holy Bola or Apple Flappa, yeah. Anyway, she didn't make them this year. I have to go back to Papua New Guinea to get them. Anyway, at this particular place, at this village, a year later, not to the date, but a year later, there were a couple of white women roaming through that area. And I happened to spot them, and they were well received. They were from some distant land, and the people took them right in. They were from very far away, but these people loved them. And I think they wanted to keep them there. It looked like they were missionaries. They were actually better at the job, I think, than I was. And here these ladies just loved them and took them in. And that's what it's like over there. There's lots of people like that. Anybody want to come over? Anyway, it was a real privilege to have both April and Gloria over to visit us and to see what it's like over there. And to hike some nice hiking places. Gloria can tell you about the nice hike she was on. I probably would have taken a heart attack. She didn't, but anyway, she climbed some incredible places. And we really thank the Lord for April being there. And I think it's over 250 missionaries' teeth that she cleaned, and I made sure I got my teeth cleaned as quickly, got my name in there. And some of the missionaries there said, can we help you with reception? Oh, no, I can take care of it. You guys do something else. And so April took on this role and did a great job and blessed many missionaries, and we were truly thankful for the work that she did there in just 2.5 months or something like that. And she got to visit some other places, so that was great. And so this comes to the end of my slideshow. We're down at Wycliffe buying the Bibles that we received the money for, and we're just thankful that we can take those Bibles again back. Don't take for granted the Word of God. Boy, it's wonderful to see these people read the Word of God, and I hope you never
ever take it for granted. And thank you so much for all your prayers and thinking of us when we're sitting on the side of that same old mountain and trusting the Lord to work in the hearts of people there that sometimes it seems like it's forever they've come out of their old animistic beliefs and they've gone into churchianity and they don't really understand it, and many are very, very confused, and most of them, they just I was met with a bunch of young guys. They were down at the road and I said, "So do you guys go to church?" And they said, well, I have to translate this, they said, "No, we are the Do Nothing Mission." And they said, "You see the mountain up there?" They said, "Going to heaven's kind of like, you know, there's different ways to get up the mountain, you know. All the roads go up the mountain." And I said, "Well, I have a problem with that. That's not what my Bible teaches. Because somebody died on a cross for your sin." And I said, "It's only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ." And anyway, kind of stopped them from talking. But I really do appreciate your prayers. I really do believe that God moves on the behalf of his people's prayer. Okay, I assume we're done at 7:30. I got 4 minutes left, 3 minutes. Anybody got a quick question? I know I kind of flew through this really fast. Something you say, you... Yeah, it's mostly our tribe, within our tribe, and not if it's kept away, you know, at a distance. I guess if it moved in our direction, the only threat we would have is if just stray bullets, and we would definitely then be leaving our village and closing up our house until things settled down. But so far it's kept, even in the neighboring village where they were having problems, I would still drive through on the highway and cut through that area, and haven't really felt threatened. It's a benefit to know the tribal language because our people do hold ups. And sometimes I've never really felt badly threatened. Once on the road back in a bush place, I think I shared before, a guy wanted to kill me. But other than that one instance, really, I don't. Mostly people are there to support us, and they realize that we're not involved in their arguments or things like that. Yeah. We moved into the tribe in 99, Papua New Guinea 98, and learned the trade language in the 99 July, yeah, a few years ago. Anyway, it's exciting to see people who can actually teach the word and see that work carry on. Okay, if there's no more questions, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for knowing you. We thank you that it's all about you. And Father, that when we share the word of God, it's actually not about us, but it's about your Son and what he's done for us. And we just pray that you'll continue to use us, and I pray that you'll continue to bless the saints here, and may you use them for your glory throughout PEI and to other parts of the earth. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God and for all of your love to us, and pray for safety now as we return to our homes. Pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.